The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Hump Day Edition. Welcome to it. We've got lots to talk about in this big hour. We got the recall effort against Robin Foss. It may have failed. We've got Trump lackeys. Our own congressional representatives are complete lackeys. And was taking note at the Cap Times. We've got one of Cap Times' fine journalists joining us in the 4 o'clock hour. John Nichols from The Nation, from the Cap Times locally, going to join us at 4:30 today. Of course, as this is custom, our little buddy Dominic could have joined in the 4 o'clock hour. Stick around for the happy hour. But let's start with Robin Foss. I hate to say this might be bad news to start the day, you know, because I was kind of enjoying this effort to recall the Assembly Speaker. And this red-on-red violence, it sort of turns me on a little bit, I got to be honest. But Molly Beck reports at the Journal Sentinel, organizers of the recall attempt against Wisconsin's longest-serving Assembly Speaker failed to gather enough signatures. How could you boys let me down like this? Failed to gather enough signatures to trigger a recall election, according to a new report from the State Elections Commission. And supporters of the former president, because let's not forget, Donald Trump's sort of behind this effort, and the presumptive GOP 2024 presidential nominee, Donald Trump, are seeking to oust Assembly Speaker Robin Foss over his criticism of Trump and his unwillingness to break the law and undo the 2020 Wisconsin presidential election. Now, I'd like to, as an aside, say I think Robin Foss would be more than willing to break the law. It just seems implausible to go that far to try and overturn the 2020 presidential. And to what end? The group launched a second recall attempt against Foss after the failure of the first. I know, I've been sad twice, which commissioners may vote to officially reject Thursday, now that the commission staff have determined the group did not gather enough signatures in the appropriate legislative districts, and because Voss does not live in or represent the third district from which petition organizers gathered signatures. Now, the Bipartisan Elections Commission will meet Thursday evening. That's tomorrow, folks. And discuss the recommendation by the commission staff to declare not enough signatures were collected to trigger a recall election. Oh, that's a damn shame. Now, the first recall attempt failed in part because petition circulators forged signatures. I didn't know you couldn't do that. An illegal practice that is now under investigation by the Racine County District Attorney. Voss and his challenge alleged thousands were from people who didn't live in the correct district. He also argued the petitions included forged signatures. Forged, I tell ya, and were circulated by felons in some cases, which is against state law. Now, Racine County District Attorney Patricia Hansen, as of March, was investigating nearly 30 complaints from area residents who said their signatures were forged by the recall organizers. Now, I understand at this time there are a lot of recall Robin signs, you know, out and around the fighting 63rd, if you know what I'm saying. The new recall petitions, this is the effort 2.0, are due by May 28th, according to the Wisconsin Elections Commission. So, you know, this story could still have a silver lining, folks. And recall organizers in March submitted to the WEC more than 10,000 signatures, nearly 4,000 more than required. But Elections Commission staff determined the recall organizers didn't obtain enough signatures from residents in the district Voss was elected in when the recall began, falling about 945 signatures short. Damn, that's close. The recall committee has acknowledged the signatures the group submitted included forgeries, but blamed the crime on sabotage and unidentified participants recruiting individuals from outside Wisconsin. According to the paperwork for the new recall effort, organizer Max Snorik is seeking to recall Voss over baseless allegations of Voss's tactic support for the Chinese Communist Party. Are we sure he's not a commie? Virginia? I've heard Robin Voss accused of being many things, but not a Chinese communist. Not often. So that apparently is going to break Crudy's heart because, you know, I was all down. I mean, what a fine group, this recall effort of Voss. This is what? Driven by Janelle Branchon and Adam Steen. He was the candidate, if you'll recall, that primaried Robin Voss. And in 2022, they all came down to Waukesha County. I know I've told this story once or twice, but Dom and I were there. And Voss came down, Trump came down to Waukesha, and it was not a big rally. If I had to estimate 3,000-4,000 top end, I called my friend Joel Clayfish, and his wife was obviously the lieutenant governor, and I didn't have a lot of affection for Rebecca's candidacy, as you might guess, but I at least found it encouraging that it was a small rally crowd, and Trump was there to support Tim Michaels, you know, you lazy Wisconsinites. That's the night he gave that speech. One of the other Trump sycophants that night said, effectively, the Republican Party that had started in ripping Wisconsin was dead. And it died the day Donald Trump came down that golden escalator at Trump Tower 2015 when he declared his candidacy. I think that's also about the time the Wisconsin GOP turned tail and ran. They stopped being an autonomous organization and sort of a cult at that point. But anywho. There are alleged felonies against the people that would seek to recall Robin Voss. There are alleged felonies against Janelle Branchon. There are alleged felonies against candidate Adam Steen. And there are alleged felonies against the super PAC representing the former president, Donald Trump, because they all broke Wisconsin campaign finance laws, apparently to the tune of felonious behavior. They took donations in excess of allowable Wisconsin donations. They funneled them through local county parties involving other local Republicans more than willing to break the law in this little conspiracy. And the Wisconsin Ethics Commission, WEC, I know, very confusing, Wisconsin Ethics Commission made criminal referrals against these very, very people organizing this effort. So they're not the best and brightest, I would say, but, you know, I admired the effort. The target, you know, an enemy of my enemy is my friend. And while Robin Voss, I have no personal animus for politically, man, he is my enemy. I wish he was taken out. Politically, you know what I'm saying. More. There are more lackeys here in the state of Wisconsin. Now, I would suggest that Robin Voss's greatest crime is he's tried to astride these two worlds, you know, these tax cut Republicans and, you know, the MAGA cultist. And it's hard to be both, Robin. You know, you've tried really hard to please all, or at least please all within your caucus. At least that seems to be the indication I get. But it's very, very difficult, isn't it, sir? And you're a talented politician, Robin, but this is beyond your ability. Because there are some that are just blinded by the cult. They're not in it for the service of their constituents or their country. They are blinded by this MAGA cult. How many of these Republicans have you heard swear allegiance not to the nation, not to its constitution, but to the cult leader, Donald Trump? A couple of Wisconsin congresspeople come to mind. Our friend Dave Zweifel over at the Cap Times points them out. Like a train wreck, my eyes are drawn to these Trump lackeys. And specifically, he means toxic Tom Tiffany and Congressman Scott Fitzgerald. Fitzy. As he writes, I hate to bother you, dear readers, with another column pointing out the dreadfulness of two of our U.S. House members. Well, it could be more than two, but let's start with Tom Tifty and Scott Fitzgerald. But the good folks in the state's 7th and 5th congressional districts need to be reminded who they've sent to Washington to represent them. I'd argue that neither Tifty nor Fitzgerald, stalwart disciples of the former Wisconsin Governor Scotty Wanker, I guess it's Walker, divide and conquer brand of politics, actually represent their districts. Instead of serving the Constitution, America, or the state of Wisconsin, as they pledged to do when taking their oath of office, they serve Donald Trump and continue to do so to the peril of their own districts. As my colleague Bill Berry, who has long been a chronicler of life in northern Wisconsin, pointed out in a recent column, the 7th District's Tifty and his fellow Republican from the 3rd, Derek Van Orden, have done nothing about the major challenges facing residents of their districts. There was a time, Berry pointed out, when congressional representatives were actually interested in bringing federal resources back home to serve their residents. I'm going to pause here for a moment. There's a great piece at the Cap Times today about Tammy Baldwin. I'm going to share some of that article as well a little bit later in the show. Let's contrast what Tom Tifty and Scott Fitzgerald do, their governance style, with that of Tammy Baldwin. And Tammy Baldwin, I would say, is nearly unbeatable in this next election. And Eric Hudvey is not heading in the right direction. His recent efforts have fallen woefully short, I would say. But here's what she does. She brings home the bacon. She's bipartisan. And she cares about her constituents, even the Republican ones. What an amazing concept, a politician that cares about her district and her constituents. So, Tammy Baldwin, just a little bit different than the Fitzgerald and the Tom Tifty, and of course, Derek Van Orden. I don't know who that man serves. I know his bartender apparently overserves him occasionally. At least that's my opinion. So we're going to come back to this David Zweifel piece at the Cap Times. Like a train wreck, my eyes are drawn to these Trump lackeys. He's talking about Fitzy and Tom Tifty, but he could be talking about Derek Van Orden and style. I mean, really, are there any of them that are worth a damn here in the Wisconsin Congressional? I would say no. So, no successful current recall point one of Robin Foss. But, you know, there's always 2.0. Robin Foss, we'll get him the next time. You alleged felons, you go for it. I admire the effort, if not the choice to, you know, break laws. Seems a little extreme. Come back with us. Devil's Advocates, you can join on the phones. They're open. They're toll-free. 844-967-2789. Rich, lightly screen them when they start dialing. All aboard!
The Devil's Advocates know how to kick ass and chew bubblegum, and we're all out of bubblegum.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Hump Day edition. Dom joining soon, 4 o'clock. You can join us now. The lines there are open and toll free, 844-967-2789. I have been expressing some of the opinions of Dave Zweifel. Like a train wreck, my eyes are drawn to these Trump lackeys. He's talking about Congressman Tom Tifty, Toxic Tom, and Scotty Fitzy Fitzgerald, two backbenchers at best, but let's not forget, both these guys, and I'm not sure if he covers this, we'll check in a minute, but both these guys, the day after, I believe the day after they were sworn in as congresspeople, they were willing to overturn the same ballots that they were elected on for the benefit of their Cheeto Messiah, their cult leader. The guy they swear allegiance to, apparently instead of the Constitution. It's not supposed to work like that. And that's why Dave Zweifel, once again, is calling them out. He references Bill Berry, a columnist from up north. And these are Berry's words. Talking about what used to happen with Congress people. It wasn't just money. It was expertise and willingness to partner for solutions. As northern Wisconsin's hospitals are closing and its economy struggling, where do we find Tifty? The New York Times traced him, along with a bevy of fellow right-wingers, to a Darien gap the treacherous stretch in Panama that many migrants are attempting to navigate on their way north. The former Green Beret named Michael Yan has for the past 3 years served as a go-to guide for the right-wing journalists, politicians, and social media influencers wanting to see the Darien Gap firsthand. Yan is a frequent guest on Alex Jones' infamous podcast, and those travelers have included the podcast producers of the Epoch Times, a right-wing newspaper affiliated with the Falun Gong religious order, conspiracy propagating QAnon adherents, and correspondents for Steve Bannon's Real American Voice. So consider the sort that normally make this trek down to the Darien Gap. Well, you know, QAnon, Alex Jones, and of course, Tom Tiffany. I read on. Their favorite tactic is ambushing migrants by asking them loaded political questions, including what they think of Joe Biden. If, in their confusion, they imply they believe he's a good president, they manipulate the comments to prove that they're on their way to the U.S. to become Democratic voters, to replace white Republicans. Now, the doctored comments make their way to right-wing social media sites and podcasts and are read by millions. According to the report in the Times, journalists are often stopped by border guards to prevent them from observing the migrant interviews. Two of the paper's journalists were stopped from traveling to an indigenous village where roughly a dozen American influencers were filming migrants. They were declared security risks. Northern Wisconsin's Tiffany and equally right-wing Republican Burgess Owen of Utah joined the Yan entourage for a few days last month. Apparently, Tiffany, Toxic Tom, would rather be at the Darien Gap promoting conspiracy theories than helping his 7th District constituents deal with their needs, including farmers and tourism merchants who have their own interest in immigrants to fill vacant critical jobs. Oh yeah, what about the jobs gap? He and his longtime soulmate, Fitzgerald, have spent their short tenures in the House wallowing in conspiracy theories, promoting impeachments of everyone from Joe Biden to Secretary of Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas, voting against budget bills to keep the government open, and insisting that the FBI, CIA, and other intelligence agencies are biased against conservatives. Man, I thought the FBI used to be Trumplandia. Now, ironically, while they both condemn Biden's border policies and insist that immigration chaos is all the president's fault, they joined with the rest of their Republican colleagues to kill the compromise that would have addressed the border issue head-on for the first time. Here's an email fundraising solicitation from Fitzy last month. I was in the room when Hunter Biden was being deposed, Dave. Dave's a weefle. And it wasn't pretty, it began. The guy is pretending not to know anything, acting like he's innocent, but the writing is on the wall. I'm ready to hold the Biden crime family accountable for their deceit and malfeasance. Can I count on you to help me? Zweifel writes, the Biden crime family, spare us, Scott. Your man has been indicted on 91 criminal counts, while not one charge has ever been libeled against Biden. These two Wisconsin representatives are most famous for thumbing their noses at the Constitution and voting to void the results of the 2020 presidential election, a move that would have disenfranchised the votes of 1.6 million of their fellow Wisconsinites. Well, you know, if you got to do it, you got to do it, right, guys? Now, Tiffany and Fitzgerald are in their jobs to serve Donald Trump, and that's a fact that can't be repeated enough. No, I would tend to concur with you, Dave Zweifel, editor emeritus at the Capital Times. Yeah, those guys. How are they serving their constituency? And I would throw Derek Van Orden in with the other bums. I don't see service. I don't see how that serves their constituents in any way, shape, or form. And I would wonder, you know, just aloud, Dave Zweifel doesn't cover it in his column, but why isn't Scott Fitzgerald under more scrutiny for his participation in the fake elector scheme at the Wisconsin State Capitol? Apparently, he enabled this criminal, I would allege, conspiracy to occur through provision of a room. They brought armed guards. They brought Kenneth Cheesebro and the Trump team into the Wisconsin State Capitol. They committed what I would allege is a criminal fraud. It's been charged as such in other states like Michigan.
what was your part in that, Fitzy? I mean, you and Toxic Tom more than willing to, what, overrule the outcome of the election? The outcome you were elected to Congress on? You were willing to throw those votes out. Anything for your dude, right? Anything. It's interesting. I had one crack at interviewing Scott Fitzgerald, and it was a WISC Politics luncheon, and it was in 2016, but not yet, before the election. And he was out there, Trump, Pence, remember him? He was the conductor of the Trump train. And Scotty Fitzgerald gave this little speech, fine, and they interviewed him. And, you know, they're always pretty nice at those WISC Politics luncheons. But, you know, I didn't get the full Sammy course. So, you know, I was a little bitter, a little hangry, and I felt like I was going to try and pin the man down. So I started questioning Scott Fitzgerald, and the allegations of the Access Hollywood tape had just dropped against, you know, his candidate, Donald Trump. And Trump was basically confessing, you know, you can call it locker room talk, but there were a number of credible allegations. See the E. Jean Carroll. And so I asked the man, I asked Fitzy, was there a line that Donald Trump could cross where he would lose your support as, you know, an ass kisser, basically? And I went through, how many rape allegations would be enough? How many, Scott? How many would 10 be enough? If he had 10 credible rape allegations, would that be too many, sir? 11? How about 15? Is there a magic number where he could cross that line and you would think through the preponderance of accusations and evidence, maybe he was guilty and maybe he was a poor bet as your nominee? Oh no, he's in for life. It's a cult, folks. He drank the Kool-Aid. Not serving his constituency, certainly not doing anything like Tammy Baldwin does. Come back. We are the Devil's Advocates. It's Hump Day Edition. Tammy does it right. Fitzy, Tom Tiffany, less so.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Hump Day Edition. Love it when you play along. Got my little buddy joining at 4 o'clock. You could join right now, 844-967-2789. Also, John Nichols from The Nation at 4:30. Going to want to stick around for him as well. But right now, we're going to the first caller of the day. Always a vaunted position. Joe from Madison, welcome. What do you got for us?
I just appreciate so much your taking the effort to sort of describe what's important to work on. Subverting the election or maybe actually meeting the needs of people in our state. And one of the things I would just bring up, and I've harped on this before, but I think it's really an interesting point, that the illegal immigrants within the state of Wisconsin are serving our dairy. And you can walk into so many dairies in the state of Wisconsin, and what you hear is Hispanic music, and the cows are there getting attended to by people who are maybe labeled illegal because they can't. When you have with a dairy is that the cows need to be serviced every day. There need to be people taking care of them rather than the kind of visas that you might get or the permits you might get if you're an agricultural worker that's picking peaches in Georgia or, oranges in Florida, something like that. It's different on dairy farms.
It's not seasonal. It's every day, every day. I know Dom used to work on a farm. He tells me stories.
Yeah, and it's hard work, and the dairies cannot make it without this illegal immigration. And what has happened now is that, let's say you try to get by without illegals working on your farm, it's an unfair advantage. Those people that do hire illegals are paying a little less, and they can make the profit that's just enough to get them by in an industry where it's very difficult these days to get by. So if we're going to still call ourselves, you know, America's Dairyland, one of the things that those representatives, Republican representatives, could do, like Mr. Chug-a-Lug out of the third could do, is, you know, put down the beer bottle and start looking at this issue of what to do about immigration as it pertains to dairy farms and what you're going to do with those people needing to get legal for all year, not just for portion, but all year. So I think it's a great topic, and I really appreciate you bringing up the fact that they're going all the way down to Mexico to look at illegal immigrants.
Panama, beyond Mexico, all the way to Central America.
All right, and then think about, they won't just bother to go onto a dairy farm and ask the farmers, what do you need? How can we change things? What do you need in order to do your job and to make our state successful? Thanks a lot, Crudy. I really appreciate you bringing up these topics.
Well, Joe, I always appreciate your excellent calls. Be like Joe. Have a hot take at 844-967-2789. Joe, I don't know if you've seen, but at the Cap Times, contrasting Republican governance in the state, and God only knows what the agenda of Ron Johnson is, but the Congress people, you know, they're off chasing the next caravan in Central America in the case of Tom Tiffany, or, you know, heading to the bar early because you can't drink all day if you don't start early, right, Derek Van Orden? But here's what Tammy Baldwin's doing. Sorry, I appreciate, Rich, that you appreciate my sense of humor occasionally. How Tammy Baldwin wins votes in Wisconsin's Trump country. Aaron McGroarty at the Cap Times. Most of the 75-minute drive from Madison to Richland Center. Now, where's Richland Center? That's in western Wisconsin. That's in the 3rd CD. So Tammy's going down to Derek Van Orden's district because Derek's, you know, at a bar. Most of the 75-minute drive from Madison to Richland Center follows a two-lane highway, weaving through the rolling hills speckled with cows, fruit stands that are closed for the winter in a few small towns. Fields set ready for summer crops, and broken-down farming equipment awaits repair. You know, I used to make that drive up to La Crosse. That was like the halfway point. I always used to like to drive through the coulees. It's so beautiful. In this part of Wisconsin, as elsewhere, farmers have been hit hard by inflation that's affected everything from the grocery bills to energy costs. Storefronts that used to be home to local businesses now sit empty. Voters in Richland County lean predominantly conservative, having strongly supported former President Trump in both 16 and 2020. But in 2018, Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin pulled a victory from the rural county. In many ways, Baldwin can be characterized as a typical Madison progressive, voting with President Joe Biden 95% of the time and just 22% with Trump when he was in office. But at the same time, Wisconsin's Democratic Senator has built relationships within small towns and rural communities by, in her words, showing up and then acting on what she hears from constituents. Even Republican leaders in those communities have been impressed with her efforts. Have you heard anyone impressed with the efforts of Derek Van Orden? Just asking. Now, Baldwin has campaigned hard in the past for farming subsidies, lower healthcare costs, and working class jobs. In this area of the state, voters remember. Richland County Republican Party Chair Bruce Taylor said this: they've got that wisdom. Now, Taylor, who was born and raised in the area and recently returned to buy his grandfather's old farm and retire, county residents vote with their wallets, Taylor said. Economic stability will be a big issue in the 2024 presidential, and it's sure to factor into Baldwin's bid for re-election in November. And campaigns sometimes lean heavily on social issues and sensationalized talking points that Taylor calls red flag issues. But in his county, he says, residents just want to be able to afford things like milk and butter and have access to health care. Richland County voters look at track records, Taylor said, not just at rhetoric that's coming down from the other side. In March, Baldwin announced she had secured $2.5 million to extend water and sewer lines to Richland Hospital and Richland Center as part of the federal spending package for this fiscal year. It's moves like these that sway the community. Richland County Republican Vice Chair Dan Gadasik, I'm not sure if that's right, Dan, I apologize. And I think Tammy, this is what he says. I think Tammy has done a fairly good job reaching across the aisle, Gadazek said, reflecting on Baldwin's approach to federal legislation, including the 2024 bipartisan government spending package that passed the Senate in March and held money for Richland Center's hospital's improvement. Damn, it's like Democrats trying to serve their communities. And Tammy Baldwin caring about the outcomes even in the rural parts of the state. the conservative parts, the parts that voted for Trump, yet she still cares and delivers, as the article continues. About 60 miles south in Darlington, Baldwin has gained the support and appreciation of other conservative voters through similar means. Lafayette County, where Darlington serves as the county seat, joined Richland County and more than 10 other counties in voting for Trump in 16 and 20, but backing Baldwin in her 2018 race to maintain her Senate seat. And the basic issues that Baldwin has addressed for the area are what pull support from a wider swath of the voting public. She got us money in the past for only county-run hospital in the state, said conservative Lafayette County Board Chair Jack Sauer. And Sauer pointed to Baldwin's consistent attention to rural voters as a strong selling point for the cross-party allegiance. In addition to serving as head of the county board, Sauer is a local farmer. He values Baldwin's advocacy for farmers and her work securing subsidies for the industry. Again, I'm going to stop here. Contrast this with what Tom Tiffany down in Central America, down at Panama, heading off a migrant caravan and shooting some influencer videos with some buddy of Alex Jones. Or you could care about your constituents. Just contrast. Tammy has never, this again, the conservative Lafayette County Board Chair, Jack Sauer, said, Tammy has never forgotten Wisconsin, where she came from, the small towns and rural towns. How about her opponent, Eric Hudvey? When do you think the last time Laguna Beach Eric, porn stashy old man, was in Richland County? Do you think he's ever been there? I don't think East High School, which he apparently attended, I don't think they play down there in the Richland County area. Yeah, I don't even think he's probably been there for a sporting event. Maybe I'm wrong. I've been there many times. I love Phil Knee down on WRCO. That guy, talking about a radio rock star, Phil Knee, he's a rock star. But anyways, Tammy Baldwin down in WRCO territory. Tammy, again, this is the quote. I know I'm being slightly redundant, but Tammy has never forgotten Wisconsin, where she came from, the small towns, the rural towns. Again, the conservative Jack Sauer told the Cap Times. Sauer has lived in Lafayette County for 63 years and served as county board chair for more than 20. Again, a quote. I watch a lot what's going on in Washington. She's one of the few there that are truly representing the people. If we had more people like her in Washington, we'd have a lot less headaches. I mean, geez, this sounds like a Tammy Baldwin campaign ad from Republicans supporting her efforts at serving her constituencies. And again, I don't see a damn one of them coming out telling me what a great legislator Derek Van Orden's being for the third. Or Tom Tiffany. Or Scotty Fitzgerald. What have you done? Remember when Scott Fitzgerald was the Senate president? Wasn't he the one that effectively wouldn't allow Brad Paff to be confirmed as the Ag Secretary because Paff called him out for failing to fund the farmer suicide hotline? Well, that'll lose your job. You know, how dare you try to serve the communities of the state of Wisconsin and the dairy farmers in crisis? And we've lost a lot of dairy farms here as the Ag Secretary because Scott Fitzgerald cares less about the farmers than the perhaps public humiliation of not doing the right thing by the farmers. You know, so obviously he had to go. Now, back to Baldwin. Baldwin's crossover appeal has held even as political pundits, candidates, and voters have pointed to a partisan division in the country that seems as bitter as ever. I remember back in my youth sitting in my home with my siblings and my father and his siblings when they would visit in the summer, and there would be evenly divided between Democrats and Republicans, and they would have lively political discussions, said lifelong Wisconsin resident Barb Meyer, an 89-year-old retired nurse who lives in the countryside near Woodford in Lafayette County. It would get noisy, but it was never vindictive. She is a registered Democrat and said she almost always voted for candidates in that party, except in some local elections. Meyer's April 2nd primary ballot sat on the table as she spoke. Witnessed and signed, she boasted. As a progressive voter, Meyer is inclined to support a candidate like Baldwin. That said, Meyer's decades observing her fellow rural Wisconsinites has given her insight into why some of her more conservative neighbors also support the Senate Democrat. In Darlington, she's coming to things she's been invited to. That makes a big difference to people if they've actually met someone. You think? I think it would make a difference to me. And like Taylor in Richland County, Meyer pointed to everyday cost and basic needs like clean water as ballot issues that bring voters from across the partisan lines. I don't get out much now, but I think the economy and the prices of things always make a difference in people's lives. How much they pay when they go to the grocery store or the gas station, Meyer said. Water quality is also very important in this area. Shouldn't it be everywhere? And I think most people understand that. And as they write here, while Baldwin can't wave a magic wand to cut the price of butter, she has prioritized issues like water quality and farming, and those affected have noticed. Farmers especially are maybe more independently minded than some people and don't think along party lines, Meyer said. Her home county is, after all, the most agriculturally dependent area in the state. And in the March federal spending package, Baldwin also secured $10 million for farmer-specific mental health resources. Again, remember when I was bringing up how Scott Fitzgerald treated earlier efforts to give some sort of mental health relief to the farmers in the state of Wisconsin? That's often a very difficult job. And some face, like all industries, face mental illness or depression or whatever the case may be. And Scott Fitzgerald's reluctance to fund a suicide hotline? Come on, Fitzy, that's indefensible. And when you were called on it, you failed to confirm the ag secretary. Well, Brad Paff is still serving over in La Crosse, Wisconsin. He's a fine state senator. Fitzy, he's taking his show on the road to Congress. But Tammy Baldwin, I suspect, will handily win re-election in the state of Wisconsin. When you have these sort of endorsements from conservatives on supposedly the most progressive or one of senators in the U.S., because they know her and they like her because she cares about them. More Devil's Advocates. 844-96-PARTY.
The Devil's Advocates. Sausage making never looked so good.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Wednesday edition. Dom joining in just a minute. But you can beat him to the punch, 844-967-2789. A long-form article on Tammy Baldwin, U.S. Senator from Wisconsin. We all know she's a champion of the progressives. But when you read this reporting from rural Richland County, the most agricultural dependent county in the state of Wisconsin, and conservative after conservative is singing the praises of Tammy Baldwin. They love this woman because she cares about their communities. She delivers. She shows up. More of the coverage at the Cap Times. Baldwin's success in these rural red areas of Wisconsin is clear. But the other half of this bipartisan rural voting phenomena involves which presidential candidate gets support from the same voters who sent her to the U.S. Senate time after time. In the last two presidential elections, that candidate has been Trump. And the Southwest region of Wisconsin holds its own as the last bastion of ticket splitters in the state, as Republican State Rep Todd Novak, whose assembly district includes all of Lafayette County and a portion of Richland County. Here's what Novak says. He speaks to the rural voters, and they relate to that. Well, I guess. Across the country, voting trends have shown that in the last two presidential elections, Trump managed to tap into a rural sentiment of disenfranchisement. Voters outside the urban centers have felt left out, that politicians don't listen to them, and that a sea change is necessary in D.C. And that's according to Lafayette County Democratic Party Chair Nancy Fisker, a progressive voter herself. Now, Fisker has lived in the county long enough to observe her neighbors and get a sense of what drives them to the polls. Around 2016, Lafayette County's demographics shifted to include a higher Latino population, which, Fisker said, has been good for the county. How could that be? Well, don't ask Tom Tiffany. Unfortunately, she added, the population change coincided with Trump's inflammatory comments about immigrants from Latin America during his first campaign for president.
Here's a quote. For some folks, you know, they're a little confused about who pays taxes and who doesn't, and who gets the money from government and who doesn't. And so all that plays into the 2000 Trump, we're taking our country back thing, Fisker opined. Farming-dependent rural voters have been hit hard by industry changes, Fisker said, and issues with job loss contribute to a sense of discontent amongst them. There are all kinds of stories about people who just sort of felt like they were left behind, she said. The campaign messaging really hit home with folks who just sort of wanted someone to save them. His campaign, or him, or whoever it is that put all of that together, really knew what they were doing. Now, Trump hit on many of those same issues, including immigration, on his April 2nd rally in Green Bay, his first campaign stop in Wisconsin since the 2024, during the 2024 election cycle. And during the event, he gave his support and endorsement to Republican U.S. Senate candidate Eric Hudvey. Now that's Tammy's opponent. Laguna Beach Hudvey. Although a number of candidates have launched competing campaigns against Baldwin, Hudvey, a GOP businessman who announced his bid in February, is supposed to be the only serious contender Baldwin will face in November. Hudvey attended Trump's rally in Green Bay, where he called Baldwin a rubber stamp for the progressive left. And leading into November's general election, Baldwin said she plans to continue making sure rural Wisconsin feels heard. Meanwhile, Hudvey told the Associated Press last week that he plans to maintain his focus on Wisconsin's liberal hubs in Madison and Milwaukee. That doesn't even make sense, Eric. Baldwin has served in some form of political office since her first election victory to the Dane County Board in 1986. That was a long time ago, Tammy. She later served in the state legislature before her election to the U.S. House in 1998 and then to the U.S. Senate in 2012. The experience she gained has provided her insight over the years on how to best connect with constituents. I've learned, this is Baldwin being quoted, I've learned over and over again, showing up matters and meeting people where they're at, listening to concerns and challenges, and then taking what I've learned and really making sure that informs my work in Washington, D.C. Baldwin told the Cap Times via cell phone driving between stops on the last day of her week-long statewide tour in which she visited voters and held roundtable discussions in 19 counties in the end of March. Partway through her multi-county road trip, Baldwin visited Richland Center. She stopped for coffee at the Richland Family Restaurant to visit with community members and local leaders, including Richland Center Mayor Todd Coppernell. The center then stopped at a number of other local businesses. It's about meeting people where they are and hearing what's on their mind, Baldwin said, while visiting Richland Locker Company, a local butcher shop off Main Street that's been owned and operated by three generations of the same family since 1939. I'd point out, my in-laws are in Richland County. They also find themselves probably supportive of Tammy Baldwin, I suspect. I read on, the shop collaborates to process and sell meat and dairy farms from local farmers in the area. And those are farmers, Baldwin noted, who have been struggling and for whom she's working to bring additional resources via farm subsidies. Again, a quote. I look at the map of parts of the state where I've had strong showings that maybe other Democrats have not. It's just really as important to form strong bonds. And I have to tell you, I've often showed up and there will be people who say, it's been a long time since we've seen a senator around here. And then maybe pause and say, especially a Democratic one, and it matters. Well, it matters. Just showing up matters. We show up each and every day for you right here on the radio dials. We hope you show up and tell some friends. Tammy Baldwin isn't the only one doing a hell of a job around here, Brownie. We'd like to think we don't do so bad. But Tammy, I mean, it's a clear contrast between how the Republicans govern in performative ways. Not for their constituents. They're not serving anyone. But Tammy Baldwin, she demonstrates how it's done. I got to tell you, here's an old confession 12 years ago. I was concerned that Tammy Baldwin would be too progressive. I know it sounds very odd, but I was concerned that she'd be too progressive and wouldn't be able to get things accomplished. And I wondered, in contrast, her opponent then was Tommy Thompson. I wondered if Tommy was perhaps better positioned to serve the people of Wisconsin, more of a centrist. Of course, he wasn't. Tommy wasn't a centrist, but he was very popular. And Tommy Thompson showed up and, you know, he got to know his constituents. He was a man of the people. And what I didn't expect and what I've come to really appreciate about Senator Tammy Baldwin, so is she. She has far exceeded my expectations as a U.S. senator. I think she's going to crush this Eric Hudvey character, porn stash and all, because he's not even from here, man. He's never even been to Richland Center. I bet he doesn't know what the White House is. He's probably never been to the drive-in movie theater. Probably doesn't know who Phil Nee is either. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. Dom joins. John Nichols joining at 4:30. You could join next. 844-967-2789.